This first one is called Words of One Song to Tune of Another.
Uh-huh.
I want each of you to sing the words of one song to the tune of another, as the title implies, provided, the tune provided, that is, by Dave Lee at the piano. Graham and Barry, first of all, will you sing the words of On Ilkley Barfat, which I've lost, that I have here for you, to the tune of The Anniversary Waltz. The words of... Oh, go ahead.
Hang on.
Thank you, Graham and Barry. Bill and Tim, your song, the words are Three Blind Mice. You've got the words there, have you?
You always get childish ones to do that. We get the nice ones.
Didn't stop you asking for the words. Anyway, the words of Three Blind Mice to the tune of Tweedly Dee.
Oh, no.
It was a good impersonation.
Quite,
yeah.
David Cassidy, you recognize it?
It says on my card here that the teams get marks according to audience reaction. So that's no marks for either of them. We go on to the point in the program where I introduce the round that's played at the very end of the program in order to give the teams time to think of silly names for people arriving at the astronaut's ball. On to round three, and we have sound charades. One team has to guess the title of a book, play, or film, or whatever, from the noises made by a member of the opposing team. The audience can help here, in fact, by applauding when they're getting warmer and by not applauding when they're getting colder. Tim and Bill, it's your turn to do the charade, and Barry and Graham, your turn to guess it. While our mystery voice tells those of you at home what the answer is.
And it's Colditz.
Here it is for our studio audience.
Colditz. Not that dirty.
It's dirty, but
not dirty.
Oh, yes, it is.
What is this? Is this a film or a
this,
play?
Well, in another sort of form, it was a film, but
yes.
This is actually a television series,
yes,
which has been
right.
Abbreviated.
Yes. Mm. And there's one word, and Tim will perform the whole thing. The whole thing by himself.
In drag. Ready?
Yeah.
An important clue. Oh! My bosoms are freezing.
It's obviously nothing to do with prisoners of war. Start that immediately. It's something to do with Percy Edwards, probably. No.
Close.
Well,
I'm not saying
I've no idea at all. I'll just have to guess, I suppose. It's a Colditz story, I suppose.
I don't understand that one.
No, I don't.
I don't understand that one at all.
No.
No.
It's actually Gone with the Wind.
Yeah. Tim and Bill are now... Tim and Bill are now marginally in the lead, but we have another round of charades. So, Graham and Barry, is yours a film, a book, or a play, or what?
This one is the misprint of a well-known TV series.
Stars on Sunday. Stars on Sunday.
Okay, Graham and Barry, your charade, please.
There we go.
One.
Peter, you're great. Ivan, you're terrible. Don't be like that. Come and sit on this ice cream.
Sit on this ice cream.
Related to the last one, yeah. Isn't it?
Crossroads.
Very warm indeed.
A misprint of a well-known television series.
Russian. Keep your hands warm, fine.
As opposed to, carry on, Russian.
A cold ice cream. Cold.
Russian
cold bottom. Somewhat.
Yes, these seats still. Russian. Russian on an ice cream. No. Oh. Russian on an ice cream.
Graham, would you like to give them a small hint?
A small clue contained in the Peter, you're great, and Ivan, you're terrible. Think about that. Peter the Great.
The Russian Tsar.
Tsar. Come start on Sunday. I do not know.
That took half an hour to get, so you're obviously penalized. At this point in the game, Graham and Barry seem to have 7, and Tim and Bill seem to have 5. We have a round now for musical story. In this round, Dave Lee will play a tune, and one of you must start a story relating to the title of that song. Dave will then change the tune, and a member of the opposite team will take up the story, but fitting it to the new tune. Is that absolutely clear to you?
Which order do we go in?
Whichever order you care to go in. So we'll start with you as you raise the question, Dave. And we go across to Tim.
Oh.
And then to
Graham,
Barry, and then
Tim,
to
Barry, Tim.
Wait a minute, Holmes.
Dave Lee, first tune.
I can't give you anything but love, I said. I'm sorry, said the greengrocer. But you owe me 18 pence for these bananas. And that's pretty cheap. I said, I can't give you anything but love. I don't have 18 pence. The greengrocer looked me straight in the eyes. And he was a tall man. And he said, you know, bananas are going up. I didn't believe him. And then he showed me. So I left the greengrocer's shop and went over the road to the pub where I ordered a drink. And I said, hang on a minute, I'll be back for the drink in a moment because it's almost Tim's turn to take on the story.
We're in the pub. Aren't we?
Yes. Yeah.
And the publican said, there's a place for us. Round the back. And I said, I've just had that conversation with the greengrocer. I'll have a half a bitter. The publican, being upset by this request, said, you'll never drink in my pub again. And took me upstairs. Upstairs, he had a crystal ball. Downstairs, he had a right foot. And he said to me, he who enters here shall be ashamed, for ye have transgressed against the devil.
What am I talking about?
And I replied to him,
I didn't lie to him because he was well known in the neighborhood as Mac the Knife, and the pub was a mere front for the back of the pub, and I thought I will not bandy words or even legs with this fierce publican who has concealed on his person this knife which I saw protruding from his apron. So I left the pub immediately and decided after the sordid incident, the greengrocer and the rather trying experience in the pub, I should head for the open fields and get a breath of fresh air. So I did, in fact, head for the open road and found myself upon the highway striding along with my kit on my back. I made it get off. And looking up, I saw a signpost.
Our signpost said, this way to Georgia. So, it's accurate, it's not funny, but it's accurate. So, striding manfully onward, I set off along the road to Georgia, which was due south, and fell into the English Channel. Yes. Whereupon I drowned.
Not a moment too soon.
Gentlemen of taste.
Well, for reaching the end of the story first, that puts Tim and Bill in the lead with 50. Because they're always beefing about the score. Graham and Barry, who are pretty easy about the way things go, I'll leave them still with 7. No problem.
Not that easy.
We've gone to a round now called cross-examination. Oh, in this round, members of one team stand accused of a foul and... the word I can't pronounce here, but it's a foul and horrible crime. The other team cross-examine in the role of prosecuting counsel. Now, we'll start now. You were in the dock, Tim and Bill. You were discovered upon private premises in Neasden. Both riding a dromedary, which was in disguise. And Bill was holding a signed photograph of Val Doonican.
As always.
Graham and Barry, you're the prosecuting counsel. Will you start to cross-examine?
Mr. Roddy, you stand accused.
So
I'm riding a dromedary in disguise. Would you care to enlarge upon it?
Yeah. No answer to that, no. No?
Hand you over to my colleague, who's a respected QC.
So I've heard.
I'm not the one to point the finger.
Did I point the finger?
You point the finger. It's your turn this week.
Then we turn to Brooke Taylor. Why Neasden, sir?
Why Neasden? Why not, sir? I report.
You didn't.
I do beg your pardon, sir. I've just reported.
That is storming. Stop it.
Neasden is... why Neasden, you ask? And I reply, quickly... because that is where the dromedaries hang out. And wanting to disguise the dromedary, or what has been disguised as the dromedary, not admitting anything, Neasden was the logical place to take the tank. I didn't say tank!
Mr. Brooke Taylor, what were these private premises we've heard about?
All private premises! He's outside with corporal punishment.
What were these? Standing next door to Major Jump.
Private premises,
please. Private premises were we were holding a meeting of the Neasden Dromedary Club.
Have you a final question, Graham?
No.
We're leaving now to the audience to judge whether Tim and Bill were guilty. Will you decide by your applause whether you think that they gave a rational explanation for what they were alleged to have done?
No.
Quite obvious that bribery has been afoot. Anyway, now, Graham and Barry, you've got to talk yourself out of this situation. Ready? You were riding bicycles along the third floor of New Scotland Yard. Graham was seen to menace a filing clerk with a bunch of radishes. And Barry was holding 3 blondes and an apprentice gas fitter. You ready? Will you start your cross-examination now, please?
Guilty!
Next round.
You don't really want it to go.
I'm not accepting that theory.
Oh, dear. Oh, what a pity.
Mr. Cryer, I come to the problem of the 3 blondes and
no
the...
problem.
No problem. Thank you very much, Mr. Cryer. I shall now leave the court.
Come back, Beryl.
Mr. Squire, I put it to you that this object you were riding on the third floor of Scotland Yard, you say it was a bicycle.
It was a bicycle.
Is it true that these bicycles have, in fact, on their handlebars, something that goes ding, ding, ding?
I wouldn't deny that. As a man in public life, I can't deny that I have something on the...
You have got...
Ding-a-ling.
On the handlebars of your bicycle, you have a ding-a-ling. That is what you're talking us to believe. As you ride along...
I'm not a young man, sir. Have pity.
Your ding-a-ling is on the front handlebars of the bicycle.
It is.
May I say, it's been hanging over his head for a long time.
The audience has been following that cross-examination with intense interest, which is more than I can say myself, and therefore I'm going to hand over to them once again to signify by their applause anything they like, really.
Oh!
Tim and Bill have 54, Graham and Barry have 33, which makes a total of 87. Now we have the Calypso round, the round which everybody knows by now. This is the round when each team has to improvise a Calypso, with the members of the team taking alternate lines. And assistance is provided by Dave Lee at the piano, and one team gives the subject to the other team. So we'll start with Tim and Bill singing the Calypso, and Graham and Barry, will you give them the subject for their Calypso, please?
Yes, it's the Alice Cooper Calypso. Alice Cooper Calypso.
I met Alice Cooper the other day.
She was in the family way.
Don't be ridiculous. She is a he.
Oh, in that case, Alice, get off of my knee. Certainly.
Right. Tim and Bill, their subject,
please.
Very
good boxer. Terrific.
Chinese restaurant.
Chinese restaurant.
Chinese restaurant, please.
Chinese meal the other day.
And I ordered noodle soup, and you know what they say.
They don't.
It's an aphrodisiac. But then I found I couldn't drink the soup till the noodles lay down.
Don't understand that one, either.
He's got the dead noodle, you know. Yeah.
Well, with that round, Tim and Bill leapt into the lead with 55. And Graham and Barry are hot on their heels with 57. Now we have the round called Ad Lib Poem. The teams are going to make up a poem. Each team member must keep going until I press the buzzer, which is that. And then a member of the opposing team must take over. This goes on until either the natural artistic conclusion is reached, in my judgment, or until none of us in the studio here can stand it any longer. The first line of your poem... And we're going to ask Graham Garden to start this one off. First round of your poem is, My love, she is a handsome lass, and Herbert is her name.
My love, she is a handsome lass, and Herbert is her name. She's not a lot to look at, but you must admit she's gay. She lives in Billy Ricky. Where she makes apple pies.
Tim?
There's not a lot of truth in this. In fact, it's a pack of lies. I'd rather tell you something else.
Hey,
Of something else I'll tell. About this witch that lived in woods and used to cast a spell. It was a spell that did involve frogs, newts, toads, and tuddly pools. You probably heard tell of her. My name is Gudley Sproles. Gudley Sproles is her name. I know, because I have heard that she...
that wily Mrs. Scudderypools can change into a bird. Comes cockcrow in the morning light. She jumps up on a perch. And beady eyes from right to left. And she looks towards the church.
Towards the church she looks. Thin bird who says, "You scuddly pools." And if you've never seen her, then you must be right fools. Because most mornings when the sun is in the sky, I know, the scuddly pools, the bird, are flying round the church will go. It isn't getting very far, but at least it rhymes. And very soon I'm hoping that there will come some times when we will not have to do this silly type of thing. In fact, I'd rather...
hoping that the chairman's bell will ring. And in the meantime... Scudderypools. In the meantime, Scudderypools. Gone off drinking sherbet.
It's all a load of rubbish.
Who said that?
It's me, Herbert.
Well, a natural artistic conclusion was definitely reached there. At what point, I'm not absolutely certain. But we go on now to the point in the programme where the teams give their arrivals for the astronauts' ball, and you have plenty of time to think these up. So let's have them now, please.
I think Clary and Graham
Yes,
Graham
and
Tim and Bill, will you start?
Mr. and Mrs. Starting at the right point. Mr. and Mrs. Chingpad and their son Lorne Chingpad.
Lorne Green. Mr. and Mrs. have lift off. And their diminutive son, we have left off.
Funny you should mention him, because following in closely after them is Mr. and Mrs. Seconds to Blast Off, and their Scottish son, Pipe, Seconds to Blast Off. Not to mention Mr. and Mrs. Na Module, and their son, Lou.
All the way from Africa, Mr. and Mrs. Control and their Russian-born son, Misha Control.
Not to be at all confused with Mr. and Mrs. Control Houston and their effeminate son from France, Mission Control Houston.
Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Zero and all their children, 10, 9, 8, 7.
And please give a good welcome, because they need it. To Mr. and Mrs. Eggs. And their son, who's 7'10", and broken them all.
We got it.
And may we have your indulgence, please? For Mr. and Mrs. Particle Orbit. And their daughter, Ellie Particle Orbit.
Mr. and Mrs. Cohen, and their Jewish and proud of its son, Nose Cohen.
And a little sympathy, if you will, for Mr. and Mrs. Down Proceeding According to Schedule, and their titled son, Count Down Proceeding.
And Mrs. Ness, and their daughter, who works in a Chinese restaurant, Waitress Ness.
Mr. and Mrs. Royd Belt and their daughter Esther Royd Belt.
Mr. and Mrs. Locke and their cousin from Germany, Herr Locke.
Mr.
This point.
Followed by racing in a nice collection of stars.
I mean, we've had that one, haven't we?
Mr. and Mrs. Dromedar and their daughter, Andromeda, and their pets, their great bear, and their dog star.
Oh. This point. What? Mr. and Mrs. Satellite and their cousin over here from America, Earl E. Bird Satellite. That should have been Mr. and Mrs. Bird Satellite, but never mind.
The score's absolutely dead heat. It's tremendously exciting.
In that case, limping in,
Mr. and Mrs. M-Canals.
You know the M-Canals? Mr. and Mrs. M-Canals and their daughter, Marsha M-Canals.
And that gives the lead this week to Tim and Bill, so it's congratulations to Graham and Barry. Back again next week. Goodbye.